Hello again, Pastor Tony Alamo here with part six of the Antichrist government posing to be United States government officials who like to blow up buildings, and also they like to shoot little children at Waco and starve people to death and all the different things that they do. This is not the United States government. Now, this is Vatican Roman Catholic cult Roman law, which says that screams to hell with the U.S. Constitution. I'm for the U.S. Constitution. I'm for the freedom of speech. I'm for the freedom of religion, even though I preach against religion. I believe that they have the freedom to, they should be able to have the freedom to do that, and we should not burn people at the stakes, but that we should preach the gospel to them, which is able to save a person's soul, the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And then we have a letter, one letter, isn't it? We have many more, but we're trying to get this. This is a real long piece of literature that the Lord has given me about the Roman Catholic Antichrist government agents in the our presence here that claim to be U.S. Government agents. They're not. I tell you, they're not. Just the United States government was built on the Bible, and these people are, they hate the Bible. They're trying to get rid of God's word, and eventually they'll pull me off the air, I'm sure. They did it once before. Once before, we were on the air on television for 10 years. But if we go off the air, just keep, I've done thousands of tapes, and they're, everybody seems to believe that they're eye-openers, and you can have them free of charge, just write in if we no longer appear on your station. If you want to hear the truth, just tune in. Amen?
Amen.
Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to bless part six of this message. And, Father, we pray that you'll open the ears, the spiritual ears and eyes of everyone out in Radio Land, that you'll, even the Christians, Lord, that are shallow, that are not, they need this new depth in you to know you more and more, and they need to know who the enemy is of their souls and of the people in this world. And Lord, I'll do that until you allow something to happen, they take off the air or whatever. And also, Lord, we ask that the people in the world, the worldly people, the carnal people, that you'll open their spiritual ears and eyes and let your word shoot into their dark minds, into their dark hearts, until they light up, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Lord, we ask that you do this and that you anoint in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Right, go ahead.
First letter is from the Democratic Republic of Congo in Africa. Dear Pastor, Minister of God, may the living God of righteousness and peace, of consolation and hope, bless you infinitely, as well as all those who are working in the Lord's field, which is to bring and propagate the good news throughout the whole universe. We thank you very much for your circular note with your signature that came with 6 pieces of gospel literature and 11 different world newsletters. Your publications impressed the people of the province of the Lower Congo very much. We had to reproduce the literature on a photocopier. We have given them out in the 3 big prisons, in the popular markets, the hospitals, and in quite a few of the churches in the province. Many people are now calling themselves Christians after reading them, seriously under the leading of the Holy Spirit in your literature.
Make sure to send this person bulk amount of literature to them, and whatever amount of Bibles they ask for, because I know this person is really of the Lord. They're winning souls, amen?
Amen.
Then what God is using you people out there, some of you, If you'll just surrender your life to him, he can use you the same way, too, and he'll bless you. You know, there's no unemployment in the Lord's, in the body of Christ. Then what else?
Many are coming to be converted and have given their lives to Christ. They are becoming true born-again Christians. To him be all the glory! Exclamation point.
Amen. Then what?
Otherwise, we are happy to learn that your gospel literature is winning thousands of souls to the Lord throughout the whole world. For gospel literature is one of the simplest means, but the most effective for the world. On your proposition, and after having considered this situation before the Lord, we are in agreement by the grace of God to become an integral part of the compassionate team of soul winners for the Lord. We are altogether ready to follow the direction of the Holy Spirit to participate in this last great crusade for human souls by helping distribute your gospel literature.
God bless you, brother. Praise the Lord. Or sister. Is it a brother?
Brother Elvis.
Elvis?
Elvis.
E-L-V-I-S?
Yes.
Well, praise the Lord. I was a very good friend of Elvis Presley, and he used to tithe to our work, and we did clothes for his group and his organization. All right, is there anything else?
What was it?
Okay, now let's get on with part six of the Roman Catholic Antichrist. Government agents in our country claiming to be United States agents. Okay? Go ahead.
This is the continuation of Pastor Lama's message, which is a partial conclusion of Antichrist government posing in the U.S. as government officials. This is part six. Many have been resurrected with Christ into the new heavenly divine realm of God. Colossians 3.
You could hear that from that newsletter. Amen.
Amen.
Thousands upon thousands and even millions are being saved through this literature. So you Christians out there, if you'd like to have literature to distribute, we give it to you free of charge, and you'll be a soul winner. It's your hands delivering it to them, and we all get the same reward because we're all one body. Amen?
Amen.
We're not divided. All one body we. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Christ is not divided. All one body we. Okay, onward, Christian soldiers. Amen. Come
Amen.
On, let's all gather together and distribute this literature and get these souls saved before it's everlastingly too late. All right, let's continue on.
That was Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. They have become regenerated, quote, born of water and of the Spirit, unquote. John chapter 3, verse 5. They are now sons of God, members of the body of Christ, and they have become new creatures in him. Quote, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, unquote.
Right, everything is new. The things that you loved to do before, you won't love anymore. And, you know, some people will say, but I keep getting tempted. Well, that doesn't mean that you're not going to be tempted, but you have the power of God in you to where you can easily just draw back and say, I'm not going to sin. Before we get saved, when we get drawn away, well, we go ahead and sin. But the power of God in us, when some kind of a thing happens, we don't have to sin. All you got to do is just turn away from it, and that's it. Amen?
Amen.
Or just start reading the Bible. Or you don't have to sin because we are the Lord's people. But if we are drawn away of our own lusts, as the Bible says, then we start living the life of sin, then God turns us over to reprobate minds, and then we don't have the power of God in us any longer to be able to not sin, to be able to turn away from sin. Some people just can't stop sinning. It's because they don't value the power of God. The Spirit of God is his power. He says, not by power or might, but by my Spirit you'll have the power to not sin. And it's so easy to just turn away from it. Amen?
Amen.
Because the world is just full of millions of different, you know, you think 31 flavors is something. The world has got millions of flavors of all different kinds of diversions and things to tempt you into, in an attempt to tempt you. But, I mean, all you got to do is just fill your mind with the Word of God, fill your mind with Christ, and you have the power. there's nobody that is that God will not give the power to if you really are a person of the Lord that does want to enter heaven. Now, if you don't want to enter heaven, then you're not going to take the effort to power pack yourself with the Spirit of God, the Word of God in your mind. You have to have a direct, when you put that word into your mind, it has to go down to your heart. So a lot of people say it goes from your ear to your mind. But it does go from your ear to your mind down into your heart. And if it's in your heart and in your mind, you cannot sin. It's impossible. Because he that sinneth is of the devil. All right? Mm-hmm. But we need the Word of God to reprove us that this is the way that we're able to keep the power in us, is to keep reading. And the most important thing is prayer. Even Conrad Hilton stated that the most important thing that his mother said, if he wanted to be successful in business, is prayer is the most important thing. And then after that, hard work. And so if you're working hard and you pray and you're full of the Spirit of the Lord and you're reading the Word of God and you're working hard, you don't have any time to be tempted. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus worked hard. He worked all day long, and so did the apostles right up into the evening. If you sit around idle and you just start lusting or thinking about things that are contrary to the Word of God, God sees it immediately, and you're condemned, and your conscience is so condemned that you can't even have any peace during the day, and you're always miserable, and you're always angry, and you're always full of hatred. And that's because you know that the Lord is not honoring that. But all you need to do is to turn away from that and just put on the whole mind of Christ, fill your mind with the Bible, and then let the Bible go down into your heart. It drops from your mind to your heart. Amen?
Amen.
To your spirit, that is, your soul. And then you're powerful. Amen?
Amen.
And the things of this world, the things that you used to love, you now hate. And the things that you hated before, such as, I don't want to hear the Word of God, I don't like the Word of God, and all this, those things you now love because they have the power of God in you. I hated being weak. I hated being drawn away. I hated, I really did, and I wanted to know, isn't there any power in this world? And then when the Lord came into my body with His Spirit, with His Father, I knew that I had the power to not sin any longer. And I knew I had the power to do whatever the Lord wanted me to do. And it's just amazing what the Lord will do with you if you let Him, if you'll just let Him. You can be the most powerful person. There isn't anything that's worth anything else in this world than to do what the Lord wants you to do, because there's no profit on the earth and anything else that there is on earth. There's no profit. Okay? I see people that are movie stars that went broke, but God never lets us go broke. He never lets us want for food or anything like that. As a matter of fact, just quite the contrary. I had a little bit too much mashed potatoes and gravy tonight, and I didn't have any of the turkey, but I loaded up on that real good mashed potatoes and gravy. And none of our people, some people have come into this church and they've gained over 100 pounds, so if you want to lose weight, you better go to another church. Okay? We'll fatten you up over here. Okay, keep going.
That was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The faithful, regenerated souls are, quote, sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, unquote. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. They were born again into the kingdom of God by the thousands of millions without number. However, the shocking truth is that very few of them shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Some willingly fall away into unregeneration. They will, quote, walk no more with Christ, unquote. John chapter 6, verse 66. Christ will blot their names out of the Lamb's book of life and, quote, spew them out of his mouth, unquote. Revelations chapter 3, verse 16.
Right there it says he'll blot you out. If he can blot you out of the Lamb's book of life, your name must have been there in the first place. Amen?
Amen.
So that's right. Again, shows you once saved, always saved is a false doctrine. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
Jesus said, quote, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it," unquote. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. Many Catholic people in which the Spirit of God has begun to work have knelt before the living God, repented of their sins, and asked Jesus to come into their hearts. They were gloriously and miraculously saved, quote, born again, unquote, of water and of Spirit, that then filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, John chapter 3, verse 3 and 5. What did the devil, who lives in many professing Protestants, do to them? He sent them back to the Catholic cult. One large denominational church after another, as well as the Mr. Biggs, which are most of the TV evangelists, are the ones who did this and continue to do this. This is one of Satan's secret demonic tricks. Many have watched this. These people do this because they do not want to make any waves. They don't want any persecution from the Roman cult. They don't want the Roman cult, powered by Satan, coming after them. They are exactly like the unworthy ones mentioned in Numbers chapter 13, those witnesses who were told to spy out the land and tell Moses about the good land which the Lord their God had given them. Even after God destroyed Egypt, its firstborn, and its entire army, and even after God opened the Red Sea for all Israel to walk through upon dry ground, they did not remember the powerful might of God, or all his signs and wonders, which they had so recently seen and experienced in Egypt.
Not only did the Lord open up the Red Sea and let the children of Israel go through, but he also, they were being pursued by the army of Egypt. And then when they made it across, the Israelites made it across onto dry land through the Red Sea, the Lord and these pursuers were coming through the whole army of Egypt. God covered them up with water and drowned them all. So God will make it look as though we're going to maybe be destroyed. That's happened many times in the ministry, because just before God is going to bless us, just before God was going to bless these children of Israel by getting them out of Egypt, and it looked like they were really going to be murdered, killed, destroyed, and it happened many times on their trip. But just as they thought that, here the entire Egyptian army was destroyed right before their very eyes. Amen?
Amen.
They say, where is our enemy? We don't have one any longer, because God will take care of all your enemies if you trust the Lord right to the very last second. Amen?
Amen.
As a matter of fact, the very last nanosecond. Okay, then what?
But they believed in their hearts that God was not capable to overthrow the giants.
Yeah, he drove them out later by a bunch of hornets, a little tiny insect. That's how big and bad these giants were. Okay, then what?
After Israel disbelieved God's abilities, God drove the giants out with tiny insects, hornets. Those who fear Satan and those who disbelieve God, quote, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, unquote. Revelations chapter 21, verse 8. When, quote, God before us, who can be against us, unquote. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Those who send people back to the Roman cult, including those false Protestant leaders which have joined themselves with Satan, are saying that Satan, the dragon, is more powerful than God, who destroyed the works of Satan, the, quote, great red dragon, unquote.
These people that were saying they were Protestant for years now come out of the closet and say they are Catholic, like Shannon Paul Crouch, the Robert Schuller. They have big honorary conventions over there and meetings to honor the Pope. The same thing with this real heretic, Jack Van Impe. And just stay away from those characters like that. And get into your Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Read the Bible. Then what else?
Those who send people back to the Roman cult, including those false Protestant leaders which have joined themselves with Satan, are saying that Satan, the dragon, is more powerful than God, who destroyed the works of Satan, the, quote, great red dragon, unquote, in the body of Jesus around 2,000 years ago.
Now, the way they say that Satan is more powerful than God is because they're afraid of the persecution of these false religious organizations that have joined themselves to Roman Catholic cult. And they start taking on the same doctrine right there is where they have, they say that God, Satan is more powerful than God. Because they're taking on a doctrine that this is not the Lord's doctrine, it's satanic. And you see them just wanting to destroy Christians. They join up with every demonic type person, secular and religious. Okay, go ahead.
That was Revelations chapter 12, verse 3. Christ destroyed sin in the flesh by his Spirit living in us. He also destroyed Satan, death, hell, and the grave for all those who walk in the Spirit. That is, for all those who walk in, quote, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, unquote. Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. When the Spirit of God in Christ lives and works in us, then that same Spirit which was in Christ, the Son of Man, mortifies or kills the sin that once dwelt in our flesh. It is the Spirit of God in Christ which does it. Quote, without Christ we can do nothing, unquote. John chapter 15, verse 5.
No, we can't do any godly work without the power of God in us. The only one that can do a work of God is God himself living in and through us. If God, Christ, with his Father by the Spirit, is not living in you, then there's no godly work that can be done through you. You may say at the judgment bar of God, Lord, have we not done great and mighty things in your name? Yes, you have, but it wasn't me, Christ, with my Father by the Spirit in you, and therefore you're condemned. I never knew you. That's what the Lord will say. And you'll depart out into outer darkness, you wicked. Okay, then what?
So now we are more than able to walk according to, quote, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, unquote, rather than, quote, the law of sin and death, unquote, in the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Quote, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, unquote. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Quote, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, unquote. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. In other words, without the Spirit of Christ in you, you're not a Christian, a member of Christ's body. Compromising. The devil makes the wicked believe they can compromise God's word. They want to believe him because they believe this will immunize them from persecution. They obey Satan, forgetting that they shall soon stand at judgment before God.
Yeah, forgetting that God is looking right down into their soul and premeditating, seeing the things that you're premeditating in your mind and seeing what a coward you are. You're more afraid of these, quote, supposed to be giants, that little insects that can destroy, more afraid of them than you are the Lord. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments, and you fear man. You disgusting creature. Disgusting to the Lord, and to me also. You know, you gain boldness if you see how the Lord works in your life. Let him in. Now, he's knocking on the door of your heart all the time. There's no knob on the outside of the door of your heart. There's only a knob inside, and you have to open the door, amen, to let the Lord come in, because he can't get in there unless you open the door. He won't go into you, amen?
Amen.
There's no handle or doorknob outside your heart for the Lord to open. You have to, he says, open. He says, I'm knocking at the door of your heart, amen?
Amen.
And he wants you to open. Because the knob is on the inside, and you know where the handle is. Amen?
Amen.
And he said, so if you want me to come in, then open up. And then if you do, then I'll come into you, and I'll dwell with you. Amen?
Amen.
And I'll wash all your filthy, rotten sins away in the precious blood that I've shed for you. And I'll give you power and dominion over your flesh, your mind, your heart, your soul, your entire being, and I'll make you a powerhouse in this world for me, because I want to come in with my Father now. Open the door. right now, put your hand on the handle and open it and let me come in. All right? And I'll wash you and cleanse you and make you whole. And he says, I'm no respecter of persons. If you'll open the door, I'll come in. All right, then what?
Those who follow Satan will spend eternity with him in the lake of fire. How utterly foolish! Exclamation point. Verily, they are deceived! Exclamation point. The only way we hurt the devil is to resist him. Quote, resist the devil and he will flee from us. Unquote.
And you're not going to resist him unless you have the thought, the Lord Jesus Christ with his Father by the Spirit in you. And don't worry, if he's inside the house, it doesn't make any difference how many wolves are howling at the door. The Lord is with you, and I shall not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for anything because he provides everything for us. Salvation, healing, prosperity, and he defends us. And he gives us the power to resist sin, Satan in the world, in our own flesh. That's what it means. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for anything because he's the one that leads me to the real good green pastures. Amen?
Amen.
He's the one that spreads the table before my enemies. I can eat sumptuously all those mashed potatoes I was telling you about, and anything that I want to eat that is lawful for me to eat. I just don't want for anything because the Lord is my guide, my shepherd. Amen. And he'll do the same for you. He's no respecter of persons. If you'll do what he says, he'll just give you everything. Eternal life, the Holy Spirit. He'll give you life, immortality. He'll give you everything in the whole universe is yours with him. But you got to open the door and let him in. Amen?
Amen.
Open. Grab the knob now and open up and let him come in. All right? It won't hurt. You'll love it. Then what else?
That was James chapter 4, verse 7. We resist him with the word of God. If we don't resist Satan with the word of God, we commit sin.
Okay, the word of God is God, so what you're doing is resisting him with God. God helps you resist Satan. Then what?
This becomes death to us, because disobedience to God is not only a sin, it is the same as the sin of witchcraft, and no witch shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Exodus chapter 22, verse 18. Romans chapter 6, verse 21 states, quote, for the end of those things is death, unquote. Verses 22 through 23 encourage the saints of God by saying, quote, now being made free from sin and having become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Unquote.
Right. We can't do what the Lord says and yet do what the devil says. We can't think the Lord and also part-time think of the devil. You have to choose who you're going to serve, and once you make the choice, then go whole hog. If you want to serve the devil, the Lord tells you, go ahead and do it. But you don't have any eternal life. But I'm not going to share your body, which is my tent, supposed to be my temple, with unclean thoughts and evil doings. Now, either think only me and serve only me and keep your mind clean and everything else, your soul and your spirit, or else get yourself filthy and dirty and get out of the church. All right, that's the way it is. But don't be claiming that you're a Christian and then be doing the things that Satan does, because I will not dwell in a body like that. I will not let you be my temple. And the Bible tells us that he is our temple. We must be in him, and he must be in us. It's a mutual situation. Amen?
Amen.
He's the temple. He's our body. We're part of the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, if we're part of his body, then we're in him. Amen?
Amen.
And so he must live in us in order for us to be a member of his body. That's just as simple as can be. Okay, then what?
But the ungodly false prophets, these ungodly wicked ones, send people back into fallen denominational church organizations that have united themselves with the one-world Vatican-controlled political and sinful cult in Rome. The stronger the servant of God, the stronger will be his stand against sin, Satan, the world, death, hell, and the grave. Worshipping God is the same as keeping all of his commandments, which includes communication with him, communion. But the others, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13, verse 4, serve or, quote, worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him, unquote. Mr. Peeler's statement above shows the fulfillment of this prophecy of Christ in Revelation chapter 13, verses 5 through 6, quote, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, dot, 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 and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle.
Okay, the mouth of the Satan is the media, the mass media. Okay, then what?
We who are born of the Spirit are his tabernacle. Quote, know ye not that ye are the temple or tabernacle of God, unquote, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, and blaspheme them that dwell in heaven, unquote. Verse 7 states, quote, and it was given unto him, Satan, the dragon, with his temporary power, to make war with the saints, unquote.
Well, that's what he's doing right now. Okay, then what is it?
Quote, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, Satan, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, unquote. Everyone that has, quote, an ear to hear the spiritual things from God, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. This means those fallen denominational leaders who lead or send the newly saved Christians back into Satan's Roman cult shall spend eternity in hell and the lake of fire. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword, unquote.
In other words, he that kills with the word of God that twists it, they're going to die by the word of God and be judged by it. And those that use, all right, then keep going.
That was Revelation chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. The original Hebrew and Aramaic state, quote, he who murders with the sword must be murdered with the sword, unquote. The false prophets murder souls by putting a false meaning to God's word.
Right. The sword is the word of God. That's the strongest, most powerful weapon in the world. That's why Satan hates the word of God so much, and that's why he's having it extracted out of schools and everywhere nowadays. But we, who are the last of the incarnation of Christ, here on earth, we exalt the sword, the word of God, more than any other thing, because the sword, the word of God, is God. Then what?
God's true word shall murder them forever in hell and the lake of fire. In other words, those who twist the word of God to mean something that it doesn't mean, causing souls to believe the opposite of what God says, such as causing them to believe that carnal weapons and carnal wars are condoned by the Lord our God, or that homosexuality or other demon possessions, which are exceedingly sinful because they are exactly in opposition to God's word, are condoned by the Lord. The truth is that all these are condemned by the Lord. Therefore, all those who lead people to hell, then the lake of fire, the captivity of Satan, must be murdered with the sword, the word of God. They must spend eternity in the same lake of fire with Satan, with his angels, and with all those who follow him.
Well, they must be killed. Murder is from the plans to kill somebody. And the Lord's plan is if people don't keep his commandments, that he plans to destroy them. Okay, then what else?
If you believe the truth of God, God says, quote, here is the patience and the faith of the saints, unquote. Revelation chapter 13, verse 10. The people who were once saved and became Antichrist, as well as those who pretend to be Christians and are not, not only take a stand against God in this wicked world, they fight whoever does not join them. They'll go after the servants of God with everything they have in their power. My late wife Susan and myself, like the Apostle Paul, quote, determined not to know anything among us save Jesus Christ and him crucified, unquote, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. We vowed to give our lives before we would ever compromise God's word. God's word means exactly what it says, and nothing shall change God, the word. God is the, quote, same yesterday and today and forever, unquote. And he, the word, shall judge every unrepentant sinner through the saints. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. He adds that we who are one with him shall also judge the angels, whether you or they like it or not. It's going to be the most astounding thing in the universe to see those false prophets and compromisers, those who have allowed themselves to be deceived into a one-world satanic power church cult government by the media, the propagandists, stand before God on the day of judgment. Jesus said, quote, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth, that is, to make peace with the devil, the powers of darkness. I came not to send peace, but to bring the word, the light, the sword," unquote, Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, as well as to, quote, "destroy the works of darkness," unquote, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, not to compromise with Satan, his darkness, and those who have compromised with his word. Doing it. Christ didn't come into the world just to do the best he could. He didn't try to get on the cross. He got on the cross. He didn't try to die for the sins of the world. He did die for the sins of the world. He didn't try the best he could to go to hell. He did go to hell for us. He didn't try to go out of hell. By his mighty power, he got out of hell. He didn't try to ascend into heaven. He really ascended into heaven before the eyes of over 500 people. Doing the best we can is not enough. We must be members of Christ's body. We must be perfect. Perfection is accomplished by God in Christ, living and working both in and through us. Jesus said, quote, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth," unquote, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18.
Well, the Bible says there's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That means if you're walking according to the Spirit, that you're perfect because there's no condemnation. And that's the only thing that matters, is that you're not condemned. And if you're not condemned, then you're perfect enough to be in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's continue.
This is because Christ never compromised, never sinned, and never gave place to the devil, as these demonic creatures who call themselves Christian ministers do in this world today. They are false prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. They tell you, quote, "Just send us your money and you'll be blessed. You'll go to heaven. You'll be able to buy a new home, a new car, and send your children to demonic colleges and universities." However, they leave the word demonic out. "You'll be able to enjoy your present life and have fun," unquote.
Enjoy everyday life. You know, enjoy your everyday life when the Lord wants you to die of your old life and just live the new life, the new creature. Amen?
Amen.
And I enjoy Christ. I enjoy Christ. I don't his life. I don't enjoy my life because I don't live my life. I enjoy Christ. Christ is the Holy Spirit. He's the kingdom of heaven. He's my breastplate of righteousness. He is my mind. He is my spirit. He's my body. My body is his, and his body is mine. He's everything to me. He gives me my food and my drink, and when I'm thirsty, he gives me the clothes. He supports me. He gives me everything I have. Okay, my air. God is the air. Did you know Christ is the air?
Amen.
He's everything, and so the good land is the Lord that he gave me, and he gave me the everlasting kingdom of God. And so I enjoy Christ. Yes, I do. His life. I don't enjoy my everyday life. And then she has a person on her program that says, "Can we be a Christian and still be ourselves?" No, we have to become part of the body of Christ. But she says, yes, you can. You definitely can. I don't want that kind of a congregation that believes that way. I want somebody that believes what Christ says, that we must be, enjoy his life all the time, and we must be his. completely. If we give ourselves to Christ as a living sacrifice, then we don't belong to ourselves anymore. The Bible says we don't belong to ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
We are His. And therefore, I enjoy being His. I don't enjoy my everyday life. You know, if I didn't have Christ, I couldn't enjoy anything. But now I enjoy everything, even persecutions when they come, because I realize that the prophets before me were persecuted the same way. And so I rejoice. And the Lord tells me to rejoice when I get persecuted. Okay? So, you know, you got to look at things from the Lord's point, His view. Amen?
Amen?
You have to be His life in order for you to think that way. And you have to be in the Lord to, in order to avoid bitterness. Because if you know you've got eternity, if you know you've got the Lord, if you know He's providing everything for you, then how can you be bitter? You've forgotten to be thankful of that you have the Lord's life. Hallelujah. You wouldn't be anything without Him. I certainly wouldn't. Okay? And no one would. So if you don't have the Lord, if you don't have His life, and if you're not enjoying His life, then you don't have anything. You're on your way to hell. So repent so that you can have everything. I mean, the Lord's life. And enjoy the Lord's life. I enjoy Christ. And that's something when you reach the part of maturity in the Lord that you can enjoy Christ in every aspect. So do it. In Jesus' name, go ahead.
However, Christ tells us to, quote, deny ourselves daily and take up our cross daily and follow Him.
Right. If you want His life, follow Him. If you don't want His life, well, then what are you doing here? Amen?
Amen.
What are you doing on earth? You think you're just here to eat, sleep, and go to the bathroom or something? What is it? Or go to movies or watch TV? That isn't what the Lord put you here for. Okay, go ahead.
That was Luke chapter 9, verse 23. The lives of Jesus, the prophets, and the apostles were not what anyone could call worldly fun. Only false prophets would say that the Lord saved us to be comfortable and have worldly fun, or say they've been called to preach money. God truly states that if we keep all of His commandments, and He means all of them, He will provide for us.
Everything. He provides everything. Even healing. Salvation, healing, immortality, defense, everything. The more you give yourself unto the Lord, the more He'll give Himself unto you. Receive Christ, the life of Christ. Enjoy His life. Because it's the only thing to enjoy in this world. There's nothing else. Then what?
He provides for us as our souls prosper. Quote, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth, unquote. 3 John chapter, verse 2. Encouragement. God commands us to, quote, love not the world, unquote. That is, not to desire the things of this world, but to desire the things of the world to come.
Right. You can use the things of this world, but don't get all hung up into it as though you own it. I don't own anything in this world except Christ in my soul and my life, the Lord's life in me. I've got, I love the life that the Lord has given me. It's His life. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
That was 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Fun to a Christian is the encouragement we receive when we know that the Spirit of God in Christ is living and working in us. And when by God's power in us, we know we have overcome sin, Satan, the world, the flesh, and ourselves, so that our souls, by keeping God's commandments, are preserved or sealed in Him. We are not sealed in Him if we break His commandments. If we break His commandments, this breaks the seal. The consistent walk in the Holy Spirit is the seal, the power that keeps us. If we, quote, draw back from God, unquote, we break the seal, and, quote, there remaineth for us no more sacrifice for sins, no more repentance, unquote. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 26. The false prophets will tell you that I am unscriptural. Read the Bible for yourself. You will see that I am not unscriptural. Quote, there is a sin unto death, and there is a sin not unto death, unquote. 1 John chapter 5, verses 16 through 17. If we begin living a life of sin, read the Bible. The seal is broken. Keeping God's commandments gives us encouragement, and this encouragement that we get by our overcoming evil is, quote, joy unspeakable and full of glory, unquote. The people of the world don't have the kind of fun that the saints do. The saints refuse to believe that the temporal things of this world are fun. The children of darkness have, quote, worldly fun, unquote. But for this, they shall surely reap hell and the lake of fire. The false prophets never tell you, as the Bible tells you, that you must, quote, yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness, unquote. Romans chapter 6, verse 19. That is, surrender your entire self to the lifestyle of Christ, the Spirit of God, so that God in Christ can live both in you and through you, continuing his work here on earth. These false prophets make you believe that sending your money to them is all that God wants you to do. They tell you that this is the whole work of God. Of course, if that's what you believe, Satan will not persecute you. After all, he already has you. You are condemned for supporting false prophets. Supporting false prophets is the same as supporting Satan. They assure you that they'll get the true word of God spread throughout the world. God sent his disciples into the world to follow and preach the truth and to reject all those who would refuse the truth. When his disciples were rejected by anyone, Christ never instructed them to say, quote, God loves you, brother, unquote, quote, God loves you, sister, unquote, quote, I love you, brother, unquote, or, quote, I love you, sister, unquote. What the Lord does command his disciples to do to those who reject him is, quote, shake off the dust of your feet for a testimony against them, unquote. Mark chapter 6, verse 11. Don't even wish them any peace. Quote, let your peace return to you, unquote. Matthew chapter 10, verse 13. Quote, if there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds, unquote. 2 John, verses 10 through 11. Consecration. God forbids and condemns all those who believe they are to unite themselves with the devil's cult and media. God's word, however, offers them mercy by telling them, quote, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty, unquote. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 through 18. Quote, the bloodthirsty, those who murder, hate the upright, but the just seek his soul, unquote. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 10. We all can plainly see in the true word of God, which is not in one of these new Antichrist government Bibles, that we are not to be, quote, unequally yoked together with unbelievers, unquote. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. We are not to marry them, become partners with them in business, or hang around them, hoping that one day they are going to believe. And we are not to unite the body of Christ with false religions. This is what the false prophet, his cult, his government, and his mouth, the media, are telling the deceived world. They falsely and demonically state that in order for the people of the world to have peace on earth, they must first unite themselves to all demonic religions, which are all joined with Rome in one way or another. God plainly warns us that to do such a thing is an unforgivable sin. Therefore, it is the same as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is unforgivable both in heaven and on earth. Anyone condoning carnal wars, carnal weapons, murder, homosexuality, adultery, fornication, the forbidding of marriage, or any other thing which is contrary to the word of God is a cult. And anyone who believes them is a cultist and is on their way to hell in the lake of fire. The Bible commands us to depart from them all. Again, quote, receive them not into your house, neither bid them Godspeed, for he that biddeth them Godspeed is partaker of their evil deeds, unquote. 2 John verses 10 through 11. Quote, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, the devil? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Unquote. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. Jesus called us out of darkness into light. We are to fellowship with the Lord and those who are the saints of the Lord. We are to resist the devil and never give place to him. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. We are to, quote, resist the devil and he will flee from us, unquote. James chapter 4, verse 7. When I was a young Christian many years ago, I was astounded to find that the people in the southern states, the Bible Belt, no longer recognized the true word of God. I am no longer astounded at this because God said, quote, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they, rather than believing the word of God, shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables, unquote. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. They are headed for eternal destruction. How could it be possible that the people in the Bible Belt who were saved and raised on the gospel could receive, quote, another gospel, which is not another gospel, unquote. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. It is a fantasy, a fable, a pipe dream. Paul stated twice in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, quote, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, unquote. In genuine Christians, the minute something hits their ears, it filters down to their heart. If the word of God is written upon the table of your heart in the blood of Jesus Christ, everything will turn from your heart to your head, and you will say, quote, wait a minute, God said, the Bible says, and that's it, unquote. They're not going to receive false doctrine, because false doctrine can never save a soul, but destroys the human soul. That's why it's so important for the people of Satan to make a law forbidding the Bible to be read or distributed. Satan cannot control a human being whose faith is in the living God, one who is born into the kingdom of God through faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no hold of Satan upon him, but God automatically answers him. Jesus said, the Bible says, God said. Satan cannot keep anyone in confusion whose trust and faith is in the living God, that is, who has faith in his word. Brothers and sisters, I stand before you today. I preach my heart out to you. I plead and I beg, and I say to you that you are standing right at the door of the coming of Jesus Christ. This whole world has no idea what it's heading for. The world and those in the world who are lost are heading for destruction. We have never known violence comparable to what this nation is going to know. You have lost your place with God, and you have compromised with the devil. You have also allowed yourself to become susceptible to every demon power in hell. We have got to believe God. We have to get back to the true gospel. That which was written of old still has not changed. It is still the gospel which helps men and women break their way through to God. The gospel which makes people say to each other, quote, I talked about you, brother, but I ask you to forgive me. I was wrong, unquote. Or say, quote, sister, I'd said things about you that were untrue. I ask you to forgive me because I know it is the will of God for me to do this to keep myself free from sin. And I know that the time is drawing nigh of the coming of Jesus Christ. And I know we must repent or be judged as sinners and spend eternity in the lake of fire. If we commit one sin, no matter how small, we've broken them all. Quote, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. James chapter 2, verse 10. We're going to have to make straight that which is crooked. We're going to have to prepare to meet our God. Unquote. So again, if we refuse to be the lights of the whole world will continue to, quote, be dead in trespasses and sins, unquote. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. They will continue in their world of darkness if we do not preach the light of the word of God into their hearts. They will never wake up until the day of judgment. At that time, it will be far too late for them to repent of their sins. Those who thought they were Christians but are not, because they didn't believe the gospel enough to obey it, will be, quote, weighed in the balances and found wanting, unquote. Daniel chapter 5, verse 27. They will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Those people say they are Christians, yet don't believe that they have to keep the commandments, such as exposing the enemy, and they don't believe God's word, which says we are never to join false religions, which are not only enemies of God, but the enemy of God's children, who are the tabernacle of God. They will be held accountable by God for the blood of every soul that is lost over their refusal to alert the world about who the devil is using and how he is using them, as well as for joining Satan's one-world government, cult, and media, which is the same as worshiping Satan and his beast. God never hides the names of the wicked people in the Bible, as the false Christians do today. The Word of God tells us of the sin of Adam, Eve, Cain, Lamech, and all the wicked people of the world, which God drowned. It tells of the sins of Ham, Nimrod, Amraphel, Arioch, Chedorlaomer, Tidal, Sodom, Gomorrah, Esau, Pharaoh, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, Achan, Saul, David, Absalom, Adonijah, Jeroboam, Ahab, Jezebel, Sennacherib, Pelatiah, Belshazzar, Herod, Judas Iscariot, Ananias, Sapphira, Elimus, Demetrius, Hymenaeus, Alexander, and many others. The Lord deliberately exposes all these and many more so that they can be examples for us as to what not to do. The Bible also tells us of all the good people, the people of the Lord. Where does this doctrine come from that states that we are not supposed to expose the devil and those he is using, such as false religions? The Bible tells everyone where it comes from. It's coming from Satan, the, quote, great red dragon, unquote, Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. Many false prophets preach this false doctrine, and woe unto you if you fall for it. Jesus said Satan will not cast out Satan, which means Satan will not expose Satan. Matthew chapter 12, verses 25 through 26. The Lord and his people expose Satan. Those who hide the devil are the devil. All those who play any kind of sport must know who their opponents are and how they will compete against their opponents, or else they can't win. The secular world is set up to know who its opponents are. How much more should the spiritual realm know who their enemy is and expose them to the world? This is why God's word tells us, quote, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, unquote.
I see our time is up right now, and this was part six of the U.S. Or the Antichrist government agents are in the United States now posing as United States federal agents. And they're not, according to the things that you see. All the gospel is being destroyed. People that are preach the gospel are being destroyed, thrown in prison on false charges. And so we're going to have part seven tomorrow. So make sure you tune in for, it might be the conclusion, will it? Or we have a couple more.
It's only two pages and then the column.
Okay, so tomorrow will be the conclusion of this piece of literature. And until then, God bless you. This is Pastor Tony Loma saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.